Brother Brett's going to be teaching. We're going to continue our series on Nehemiah. We're looking forward to just, I've enjoyed this series. And I'm thankful for the men that are helping us with this. And I want Brother Brett to just come and teach us this morning. But before he does that, would you stand with me? And let's just ask that the Lord would touch us today to receive what he has. Could you do that? Lord, we love you and I thank you for your presence that is here, for your anointing that is in this house. I'm asking that you would touch this morning, that you would anoint, that you would bless, that your word would accomplish what you desire. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. For whatever it's worth, and I think it's worth something, I felt a touch of the Holy Ghost when he was praying. This is right this morning. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit heavy this morning with this. I feel like God's dealt with me pretty straightforward on this. And I'm just going to get as far as I can. And I'm actually going to just kind of start out with the meat of things and then kind of move forward there. Okay? But today, of course, is supposed to be Nehemiah chapters 4 and 5. Of course, Brother Eric taught the last time we had the series going, and I think he taught over chapters 2 and 3. And just a quick recap about that, you know, he talked about the importance of the wall. I've got to build the wall, and I've got to maintain the wall. That's where my safety lies in God. That's where my connection to God lies. That's where my refilling and my power lies. And if I don't have the wall, I'm vulnerable. And if I don't have the wall, then I'm not set up everything that I should have that God can operate in my life. And where I want to pick up is in Nehemiah chapter 4. And let's actually start looking at what happens when they begin to work on this wall. So they're going to go ahead and commit to doing this. Now there's two, to me, there's a lot in the book of Nehemiah. It's one of the deeper books, I think, in the Word of God. It's pretty spectacular. And to me, there's two very important themes in chapter 4. One is, how do we deal with the adversary? Because we're going to deal with him. You will, especially when you do what God's called you to do. You're going to deal with him. But two, the second theme is my heart in that. How is my heart when I deal with the adversary and when I'm trying to get things done in God and it's not going like I think it ought to go? So two things, dealing with the adversary and dealing with myself. And I think those are two very important themes in chapter 4. So I'm going to read Nehemiah 4, 1 through 6. It's a little more lengthy reading, but that's okay. It really sets the stage for what I want to do. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Okay, so this is an attack. This is an attack. You know, I don't care what was in Sanballat's mind and their minds. This was, to me, prompted by and initiated by and instigated by the adversary. Because he does not want anything in God that God wants to have. Nehemiah and the people just had it in their minds to do the work. And he's already got a plan to oppose that. You know, I don't want to get ahead of where I'm going, but he knows where you're at. I'm talking about the adversary. He hears you pray. He hears you talk. He knows where you're at. And he'll use that as a means to tailor and plan his attack. And this is what he's doing now. Verse 3, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall.'" So now the adversary's got help. He doesn't just come by himself. He's going to bring the forces of hell with him, and that's just how it is. And I'm going to tell you this. The harder you work for God and the harder you push for God and the stronger you intend to live for God, the harder he pushes back. That's how it is. But here we go. Here's Nehemiah's response to all this, and this is very important. He says in verse 4, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they are provoked, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders." And this is, I love this part. So he prays, and then he says, "So we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." His attitude was, okay, stop. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to go about what God's called me to do. And that's what they did. And I think that we need to come, I mean, I'm talking to myself. We need to come to an understanding that at some point in time, I've got to move forward with what God's told me to do, regardless of what it looks like, and just do it. And he can, you know, the adversary can flounder around whatever he's going to try to do, but it's not going to stop me if I want to do what God's called me to do, and it's not going to stop God. And that the book of Nehemiah shows us this. All right, here's some introductory points. I just want to say these things to me. I was led to go to Jerusalem by set the stage for where I want to go. Okay, number one, Nehemiah was led to go to Jerusalem by a burden from God. Okay, God was in this; it was His plan. Now it doesn't matter if it was Jobab that got the burden. God was going to honor his efforts. It just so happened to be Nehemiah. It could have been me. It could have been one of y'all. That doesn't matter. Now, what matters is, will I go? But what matters is God gave it. And if God gave it, he's going to support it. Number two, God was with him and helped him. Okay? God, you know, if you look at Nehemiah's position, what he did, where he was, what had to be gained, the resources, the manpower, all these things to actually do what God called him to do, there is no way Nehemiah or any one of us could have done it. If I just said, hey, you know, man, I'm going to go build a wall because God's inspired me to do it, and I'm going to go take care of it on my own, that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. You look at, God blessed him. God's not going to call us into something and then just say, That's not how it works. Now, I didn't say it was going to be easy. It wasn't easy. That's where we get into a lot of trouble. See, we want it easy. I want it easy. Oh, God, okay, you called me to this. Now, bless, boom, done. That's just not how it works. You guys are going to have to understand, God has worked me over on some of this, okay? This is really, really important. God knows the beginning from the end. God's already set the boundaries for this. God's already set the parameters for what he wants to do with this work, okay? God is going to complete it according to his plan. And it doesn't matter what anybody does or anything does. It will come to fruition. It will. It will come to fruition. Now look at this. Here's the parameters. This ought to make you feel good. It made me feel good. God knows the end from the beginning because he knows all things. He's not flying by the seat of his pants. He already knows what he's going to do. He already knows. I mean, okay, so God sees the future. It's already settled. He's already, technically, it hasn't happened yet, but he's already called it. It's already done because it's going to happen, okay? The second thing is he calls things as though they are, even though they have not happened. Again, and this is, I've got Bible for this. In his mind, it's settled. So all the things that Sanballat and Tobias and all those other groups throw up, God doesn't care about that. It doesn't. It matters to me because I'm not him. It doesn't matter to God. God's not looking at that going, man, I don't know how I'm going to handle these cats. God, that doesn't even cross his mind. He's for us. He's for Nehemiah. If the Bible says, if God be for me, what then can be against me? Well, that doesn't mean that things can't come against us and make the attempt, but if God's for me, really, what can they really do? Okay? He will never leave us nor forsake us. As long as I'm doing my part, he's not going to walk out. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. There's been some things I've gone through where I've stopped and said, hey, God, where are you at? I mean, realistically, where are you? I'm sure when they were getting all the news from the adversary about how they're going to come over here and they're going to attack us and they're going to kill us and they're going to ambush us and all this kind of junk, I'm sure they were wondering, well, hey, God, what's up? But he was there. Just because I can't see it, just because I don't know what's going to happen, doesn't mean that God is not aware. And it doesn't mean that God's not going to be there. And the Bible finally says that through him, through Christ, I can do all things. So with those parameters set, what really, I mean, again, I'm talking to myself, what, and we get in our minds, we get off in our thinking, but what really do I have to worry about? At most, I'm going to have to go through some things that maybe aren't real comfortable, maybe aren't real fun. That's the reality of it. But in the end, God's going to see me through, just like he did Nehemiah. What I have to do is stand in those parameters. This is where if I'm going to get in trouble, I'm going to get in trouble because in my mind, I'm going to walk outside of those parameters that God set, and I'm going to get scared, and I'm going to stop trusting. And, you know, when things start going not the way I think they ought to go, then I move myself out of those parameters, and my faith wavers, and then I have problems. But if I stand in those parameters, God's going to see me through. Nehemiah, despite all of these things, he still fought the adversary. I mean, God called him. I mean, why didn't God just quiet those cats down? Why didn't you just say, hey, I'm going to put a stop on these guys. You guys go down there and you know, it's hard enough work to build the wall for crying out loud. You just go out there and build it and I'm going to keep everything peaceful. Why didn't he do that? You want to know why I think he didn't do it? I think there's two reasons why he didn't do it. One, I think it was part of your hungry. Nehemiah, what are you going to do? I know your heart. I've called you. You're hungry. You want to do this, but you know, you're going to have to deal with some of this. I want to see how you're going to handle it. But there's a deeper reason why. Had that not happened, I wouldn't have the book of Nehemiah. I think that some of that stuff God let happen so that we have a roadmap on how to handle that junk when it comes our way, because it's going to. I mean, thank God for it. Thank God, you know, like the book of Job, and that's horrible, but thank God that was done and that was recorded, because it benefits me. And here's the thing. So Nehemiah had conviction in his heart to stand. This is where the heart part comes. Nehemiah was absolutely committed to the plan of God. And here's the thing I love about it. If you read through there, he really never faltered from that. He does not do what we do and waver. Oh, I mean, it starts going kind of rough. And God, you know, that's me. What's up? I'm not being real. But that's Nehemiah didn't do any of that stuff. Oh, I gotta get going. I'm not even. All right. So Nehemiah stood strong, not in himself, but in the power of the might of God. I mean, I'm not going to read it because I don't have time. I'm going to cut some of this as I go. But Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 deals with that it's my responsibility to stand strong in his power and his might. And when I've done all to stand, I stand. That's what Nehemiah did. Now, Nehemiah didn't have that scripture. He had that mindset. And that's what he did. Nehemiah, I don't care how, and it mattered that he was committed, but I don't care how committed he was to living for God. If he didn't have that mindset and he didn't do that thing, he would not have withstood that. We read that, okay, and we go through it and we say, oh, you know, that's all, that this happened, that happened. But you put yourself in their shoes for 5 minutes. You're doing backbreaking, just exhausting labor. Which would be enough to wipe most of us out. And you're standing there armed, waiting for an attack that may kill you. And you're doing it day and day after day after day. That's what they did. They didn't know. They didn't know. All right. Let's break this thing down. Let's start it. Even though Nehemiah had heart for God, and even though Nehemiah obeyed God and he followed the will of God and he did everything that he could do, he still faced an adversary. You will, I will face an adversary, the adversary, when I'm living for God, when I'm following the plan of God. There's no way around it. Anytime, and I mentioned this already, but anytime I make a step towards him, the adversary makes a step towards me. Now, where I have to step in and say, okay, I know it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. But I've got to say, okay, God's with me in this. So fine, you take a step, I'm going to take another one. And what I'm going to do is, in God, I'm going to knock you out of the way. That's what you're dealing with. That's what he's dealing with. You've got to be willing to go through that and fight through it. One of the things that we've got to learn to do is, when the adversary opposes us, we need to use Nehemiah as a model. The first thing he did was take it to God. Okay, God, I'm doing what you called me to do. This is happening. Help me. And that's what he did. When they started threatening and they started going about their opposition, Nehemiah took it to God. Okay? He prays. He asked God for help. And wow, what do you know? God helped him. Surprise, surprise. Now, sometimes if you're like me again, sometimes it's like, you know, you say the prayer and it's like, okay, God, you know, well, he'll do it. It may not be when I want it. Now, in this case, he kind of, you know, right away, but you're going to find out they went through some stuff before God fully answered too. So that's point one. Point two, and I think this is really important, after all this first encounter, and after God dealt with it, after they prayed, and this is really, really important, they went back to work. They just said, okay, this happened, I prayed, I'm going right back to what you've called me to do, God, whether I see a move of God or not, it doesn't matter. Here's the thing, I prayed. You called me to this. That's it. Okay? I'll read it. Verse 6 says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. For the people had a mind to work. I got to have a mind to work for God. And I'm bad about letting stuff get in the way of that. I'm bad about making excuses or whatever, you know, we all do, I think. But I've got to have a mind to work. When I've got a mind to work, I'm going to follow the plan of God. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says to submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. It says, do not give place, and I'm not going to read all this, to the devil. It's really not if I'm going to back down from him, that's not really what the Bible tells me to do. Now, I understand that Sanballat and Tobias, you know, weren't, you know, the devil. But the thing is, they were a tool of the devil. So when I'm, here's what I want you to get out of that. When I'm trying to do the will of God and something comes against me, it may not be the devil himself, but it's a tool of the devil. And I need to treat it the same way. Okay, whatever. I'm going to do what I'm going to do in God. That's my point in that. My point number three, the adversary did not stop just because Nehemiah prayed. As a matter of fact, even when God moved, and he did, you read chapters 5 and 6, it didn't stop them. It didn't stop them a bit. The adversary is not going to stop his attacks whether you're doing what you're supposed to do in God or not. Why? Because he hates God and he hates his plan. And you know what? You are in the way. Bottom line, you are whatever vessel that God's using, it doesn't matter. He's going to try to bulldoze you to stop the plan of God. Okay? Yeah, let me read it. Verse 7 and 8. It says, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were being closed, that they became very angry. Well, ain't that like the devil? I mean, like I said, he hates God. He hates anything that's about God. I mean, if you're about God, he hates you. That's all there is to it. Verse 8 says, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Don't think for a minute that he doesn't plan. to come against the things of God and the people of God. He does. Now, and I don't, I'll be honest with you, I don't believe the devil's on my tail all the time. Most of my problems are myself. Just realistically, most, if I have problems in my life, 95% of the time, it's me. But I will tell you, there are times when I've battled him. And it's usually when, it's one of two things. Either I've made it, I'm just trying as hard as I can, I'm moving as hard as I can to grow in God, or I'm at my weakest and something's going wrong. That's the two times I seem to knock heads with that guy. The enemy knew, and he knows, that God has a plan and a work. And he knows what it is. It's written down for him. But he doesn't care. He's still, you know, tooth and nail to the last of him. He's going to fight. I just have to have that mindset. Have you ever noticed that Satan will always try to make himself look bigger and tougher than he really is? This is what he did with Nehemiah. He got all these different guys and all these different nations and all these different folks to come in and come against Nehemiah and even influence the Jews that were in that area. He tried to make it as big and as ugly, as insurmountable as possible. When they're tired, they've been working. I've been there, I'm doing this. It's not completed yet. Man, I've been out here. That's what he does. That's what he did. He always tries to make himself look greater than what he is. But the thing is, I have to some point in time say, okay, you're doing this, but I'm serving him. And he's greater than you are. Yeah, I hope you guys, I think we do. I hope you guys understand this. The devil and God are not vying for power. There's no contest there. There's no vying there. I mean, I know we know that, but it's just, I wanted to say it. Okay. Notice, this is point four. Notice what Nehemiah and the people did after the second attack. They went back to work on the wall. You're going to have to just say, all right, you devil, you do your thing. I'm doing mine. And what you're going to find out is when it's all said and done, the devil's not going to accomplish much. Okay. Now, I want you to notice something. So there were multiple attacks from the adversary. But those attacks did not do the following. And this is neat here. And I mean, you got to realize, again, think about the position they're in, okay? It didn't stop their prayer. It didn't stop them reaching to God. It didn't stop their faith. And it didn't stop their trust in God. Because if it did, they would have walked away. Never one time does it even allude in the scriptures that Nehemiah lost his faith or his trust in God. Oh, they're going to come kill you. I trust God. And I'm not belittling that. I mean, sometimes people die in the call of service to the Lord. I understand that. But then they have faith in that eternity. Number two, it did not stop the plan of God. It did not stop or hinder the plan of God. It didn't stop the work on the wall. It didn't stop it. It may have slowed it down in some areas for a while. Didn't stop it. It didn't stop the people from working their part to fulfill the plan of God. There's always a my part in it. It didn't stop them from doing what they had to do. Even when what they were called to do went above and beyond, I'm sure, what they figured they were going to do. And this one's really important here. It didn't stop the unity of the people of God. Because he's going to try to drive a wedge into that. I'm just being honest with you. He's going to try to drive a wedge into the unity, into the church, into the people. Because if he can do that, if he can either drive a wedge in the people or he can cause you to lose focus, he wins. Because if he would have done that and they would have said, look, Nehemiah, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of you. I'm tired of your plan. I'm tired of the adversary. I'm done. Let's go back. And half of them would have left. They probably would have had some problems completing the wall. Game over. But if we stand together, and I stay focused on the plan, how am I not going to have success? Y'all know how to slow this thing down? I haven't figured that out yet. They also didn't let circumstances, this is point five, they didn't let circumstances stop them. Just stuff, just life, just junk. It talks about, it's in verse 10, I'm just going to read part of this. It says, there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build a wall. I mean, that's just stuff. That's just a consequence of what happened. They didn't do it, per se. They had a heart to go back and rebuild the thing, and there's all this junk in the way. Okay, that's life. That's life. And I'm bad about, oh, man, life's just, you know. But you know what they did? They just dealt with it. Now, sideline note very quickly. That junk wouldn't have ever been there had the people not lived for God. Had they lived for God, that rubble wouldn't have been there. Those walls wouldn't have been torn down. So they're actually dealing with past and prior sin and the ramifications and the consequences of former sins. Just let me say this, because I felt this. You can sin. That's wrong. You can sin, and you can be remorseful, and you can repent, and God will put it under the blood, and you can move forward, and you should. But sometimes there's unforeseen consequences down the road of that sin that don't go away and have a way of circling themselves back to you. I know, because I used to live in the world. Y'all know this. And I'm just going to be very, very open. There are things from my life before I got into God that I still battle. And I'll battle those things until he takes me home. And I'm telling you from experience, your best bet is not to do it. They fought those conditions in part because of the sins of their people. Now, so they're working. It's long work. It's hard work. It's hot. It's physically demanding. If you've ever worked any kind of physical labor, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you should. It's a good idea. You should. It makes you grow, okay? Not only are they dealing with all of that, you know, I mean, let's face it. They can't just get done working on the wall for the day and go to McDonald's, which I don't know why anyone go to McDonald's anyways, but go to McDonald's and get a burger or whatever and just sit back and chill. I got to prepare food, and they got to set a watch, and then they got to deal with the adversary, and they got to work while they're armed, and all this junk is going on. And it's like, well, I'm just trying to fulfill the will of God. Why is it so difficult? Why is it so hard, God? Why can't this just be a simple thing? And if I'm not careful, that gets into my head. Well, God, I've worked here on this for so much time, and we've made some progress, but it's not happened yet. So here's where they're at. They're at the halfway point. They've built half the wall. They got half the wall to go. They're tired. They're stressed. They've been harassed. They're fearful for their life. They're in a really precarious position because it's real easy. The joy is gone. Oh, God, you called me to this. I'm so excited. We're going to do all this. Well, I'm doing, and this ain't happening, and I'm tired, and they're in a bad place mentally, okay? They're in a very dangerous place. Well, guess what? Guess who shows up about that time? When you get to that place, when you're working for God and things are getting kind of rough, that's when the devil's going to show up and he's going to say, hey, what are you doing? He's not helping you. You're spinning your wheels. You're working hard. You're not making progress. Just walk away. Because I tell you what, if Nehemiah and the people would have walked away, I guarantee you that those folks would have left him alone. That's what they wanted. The harder I pursue the things of God and the tougher it gets, the harder the devil fights back. That's what they dealt with. Now, it's easy to let down and it's easy to give up. But what I have to remember is that if I will go ahead and give it everything I've got, God promises me there's going to be a rest. And there's going to be a victory, and there's going to be a completion of his plan that I'm going to enter into. And it's worth it. It's hard at the moment, but that's where I've got to keep it in my mind. I'm not looking for the moment. I'm looking for the end, the prize. And that's what they did. They kept that in mind. I've got to move on. One of the things that I felt was important the Bible says we're not ignorant of the devices of the devil. We know the modes that he uses to come against the church, to come against us. Now, I want to lay these out there for you because it's kind of interesting to look at it. He'll use all of these, and he used every one of them on Nehemiah and the people. Every one of them, and multiple, sometimes multiple at a time. So here's what he does. First of all, he says things to discourage and mock and belittle what you're doing. They just come up and put it in your mind. Hey, you're a fool. What are you doing that for? You're facing persecution. You're not getting it done. Number two, he continues his efforts. It's an onslaught regardless of what you do. He's going to continue to attack. That's his way. If it doesn't work one way, I'll come in the back door and try another. Now, this is all, I can cite the scriptures in Nehemiah where this happens. I'm not going to do it, okay? He tries again and again to stop us. He's persistent. He's a pest. Number three, he deceives, he lies, and he bears false witness. He always tries to make things what they're not. He always tries to discredit the things of God in God. And if he can discredit that in your thinking, he's got you. If he can somehow cause me to look at that and reevaluate it and say, I'm done. I just messed up. If that doesn't work, he threatens. He threatens. They did. They threatened him. Well, we're going to kill you. He threatens. Whatever he thinks, whatever threats he thinks will cause you to back down, that's what he's going to do. Number five, he always, and I mentioned this one already, so I'm not going to go into it too much, but he always tries to make himself look more imposing than what he really is. Always. Always. And number six, and this is the one you really got to watch for, he will get into your mind if you let him, and he will stop your praise. He will stop your worship. He will stop your prayer. He will steal your joy, and he will cause you, because of your circumstances and because of his deception, to really backpedal in your walk with God and what you're trying to do. That's what he does. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. And I don't have time to get into some of that. I wish I did. Well, how did Nehemiah deal with this? He had to deal with it. The people had to deal with it. What did he do? Well, what he did is a guideline for what I need to do and what you need to do. Okay? The first thing he did is he sought direction from God continually. He never lost, first of all, he always prayed, he reached to God, and he never lost that attitude. It didn't matter how many times they came against him, he stayed in communication with God. He prayed, he reached to God. Because see, that's what realigns my thinking. Okay, so yeah, I had a bad day, and the adversary came against me, and I'm starting to question some things. Okay, God, help me. God, deal with me. God, straighten out my thinking. God, reaffirm to me that this is your plan and I'm in the will of God. Lord, let me, deal with me. Well, you know what? He dealt with them. And that what that does is it realigns my thinking. It takes and changes my, I use that as a barometer to kind of change from where I was to where he originally brought me to be. Does that make sense? Reading of the word and attending church play a role in that. I need to pray. I need to read, and I need to be in church, to be real honest with you, because there's power in that. I don't have time to get into that. There's a very, and I'm not even going to read the scriptures, but there's a very, very, very deep, insurmountable pitfall that we can end up in, whether we're getting attacked by the adversary or not, if we're not praying and we're not living for God and we're not reaching to him on a regular basis and we're not following his counsel. I'll skip all that. Nehemiah, this is number two, what he did. Nehemiah did not have irregular, inconsistent communication and contact with God. So he prayed regularly, but he was consistent with it. And what that did is it gave him a real-time connection to God where God could deal with him, God could realign him, and God could help Nehemiah discern what's happening. I've got to be able to discern whether what I'm hearing is from God or the adversary. I've got to know, is the information I'm getting coming from God or from something else? And the only way I can have the ability to do that is with His Spirit and real-time connection to Him. Guys, I'm sorry, I'm shortchanging a little bit of this. Number three, Nehemiah stayed committed to the things of God. No matter how bad it got, he never wavered in his commitment. And guess what? God honored that. God honored it. No, it was not easy. I can't imagine what those people went through. I don't want to know. I mean, I can cognate it, but I don't want to experience that. If we look at what they went through and we kind of blow that off and they say, we're woefully ignorant. I've got to want it. I got to want it. If I don't want it, I'm not going to stay the course. Okay? I've got to want it. I got to be willing sometimes to say I'm going to fight. Anybody in here like to fight? I mean, literally fight. Yes. You know, when we were kids, I was dumb as a box of rocks when I was a kid. I'm going to leave it there. Nobody in a real true fight, I'm not talking about like sport fighting and things like that. Nobody, unless you've got some serious mental problems, likes to go out and get into a real fight with somebody where you can be injured or killed. But sometimes in a spiritual sense, I got to be willing to say, okay, I'm going to fight. Whatever it takes, I'm going to fight for him, his relationship with me, my family, my eternity, his plan. I mean, I'm talking to myself. That's easy to say, and when it's tough, it's hard to do. Let me see. I've got 4 minutes. Fear. One of the tactics that they used against Nehemiah and the people was fear, and through fear, trying to impart discouragement. That is one of the adversary's most used tactics. I'm going to come over here and I'm going to say all this stuff and I'm going to act this way and I'm going to, manifest myself to cause fear, questioning, and discouragement in your heart so that you will begin to question everything that's going on. If you look at Nehemiah 4, 11, and verses 11 and 12, basically what's going on is the adversary is using the people to promote fear. He's using people around there who don't know, who don't understand, to promote fear in the people of God that are trying to accomplish a task. And had they listened to him, they would have abandoned the work. Let me close with this. I got 2 minutes. I'm gonna close with this. And I was in prayer and I felt this, and it's sort of towards the end of my notes, and I'll never make it. It's fine. I want you to hear what I'm gonna say in the context of the book of Nehemiah in chapter 4. If God filled you with the Holy Ghost back whenever, He still wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost now. If God brought you into the church out of the world 50 years ago or 5 minutes ago, His plan is for you to still be in the church now. If God started a work in your life and God has a plan for your life, and He does, He still is working and He still has that plan now. Regardless of what's happened, regardless of what the adversary's done, regardless of failures or difficulties, or stumbling like we all deal with, that same God started a work in you, and it is fully His will and His intent to finish the work in you. That's why it says He's the author and finisher of my faith, and He's the author of salvation to all who obey Him. It's His plan for all of us to make it. That's His will. And He didn't start it in you to not finish it in you, as long as you're willing to meet him halfway and do your part. Now, I'm going to stop there. We'll take a break, and then we'll have our regular service.